Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love masks. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again from whatever we are calling this at this point. It's another Homes Alone edition, because we're all in our own homes, I assume. It's Sunday, August 16th, 2020, and my guests today are Aparna Nancherla, Jeff Tate, and Sam the Ma'am Levine, a.k.a. all that other stuff. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Doug.
Hello. Hi, Doug.
Everybody's so polite and waiting their turn to talk. I love that. And let's talk to you all individually, starting with Aparna Nancherla is here, star of how many shows are you on now? At least three, right? MythQuest, Space Force, and Corporate?
Wow, yes. You read my bio.
No, I've seen your bio. I have to admit, I haven't seen any of Corporate, but I've seen all of Space Force and Mythic Quest, and you're doing great.
Thanks.
There's a season of Corporate that's going right now.
That's right. It's just airing currently.
Okay, cool. On Comedy Central.
Comedy Central, the network we all know and love.
It's like you're taking over as the announcer for the network. You really sold that.
I know. They always use I feel like they always use a comedian's voice to do the like little intro. Like it wasn't Kyle Kinane for a while, and then
it was, and then now it's David Bory, who is.
That's right.
From the All Fantasy Everything podcast.
Well, maybe they'll go for a woman next time.
You know, it's I guess we're due for that. You know, because it was Penn Jillette for a long time. So the station it was a network you went to if you wanted to be yelled at by a large man. and then it's gotten more and more gentle. So yeah, that's probably the next step.
Well, they're due for another person with a ponytail.
That's right. They really have a type. So thank you for being here and doing a Zoom show. Are you calling in from home?
I am, yes. I am at home.
You have like you're set up there now because of this, right? You have like kind of, it's almost like your own little studio area.
Yeah, I do some voiceover stuff, and it's kind of funny because all the different shows have been mailing me equipment, so I really feel like I could build a studio when this is done.
Yeah, they love to send they love to send equipment to make sure it's going to work better, and yeah. then that equipment often doesn't work.
Yeah.
it's a whole system right now that we have to go through to just to figure out how to make these things happen.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for being here. You're up here today against two of the legends of.
I know. I feel like I was miscast for this episode.
we totally tricked you into being here today. But a third player is very important, and maybe Sam could tell us in a second, but I'm sure there's been instances where the third player lucked into the win and Sam went home without the trophy that night. It's Sam Levine, everybody. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Doug. Yeah, it all depends on the game. Some games are fine with three players, and others are less strategic when you have a third person in there.
Right, yeah. And you know them all, and you're great at most.
Oh, thanks, pal. I try. You know, I like movies. You love movies. I like them.
What? You're just fond of them.
Yeah.
I want to try to get them to marry me, but you're just like cool, just hanging out.
Yeah, we're not putting labels on it.
There's no reason to. What kind of labels are you putting on your work these days? Like, what have you been up to?
Well, I had the DC Daily show. We were shooting that from our homes for the DC Universe streaming platform until they canceled us last month.
You don't have to go back and tell us of all the jobs you've lost. Just tell us what you're working on now.
right now, I'm writing a script.
But that's still the story, right? It's still fresh enough for you that when anybody asks, you're like, yeah, DC Daily went away. Doesn't that suck? And then
I'd been working on it for almost two full years. So, every week. So it was kind of a big job. But yeah, that's done. And I've been, much like Aparna, I've been doing some voiceover work from home. And that's been fun. And then
I think those are called cameos.
Oh, I've also been doing cameos.
Oh, you have?
Yes, I joined you on Cameo.
How much are your cameos?
I charge what I think is a very reasonable $45.
That's quite reasonable.
Yeah.
What do they tend to ask you to do? Do they have anything specific they want from you?
I get such a wide variety of requests. I'm sure you get this a lot. I've got a couple of what I consider regulars now. People who will, request cameos once to twice to sometimes three times a week, because they want it, they want me to make fun of every one of their friends individually, things like that. They want me to roast their friends, people I don't know, or, one guy wants to gets my thoughts on baseball every week.
Well, I assume the ones with the roasting, like, you do such a good job, they're like, let's get him to roast somebody else now. You know, like, that's what happens is that the people that are good at cameos, that begets more cameos.
I would like to hope so. Yeah, I think I'm doing an okay job when I roast strangers. And then, they want me to come back and do it to other strangers.
Yeah, it's wild.
But
it's like, they're like, hey, make fun of our friend. He's got asthma. And I'm like, why would I?
Yeah.
Why is that a jumping off point for insults?
Yeah. But then, like you, I'm sure it's just a lot of birthdays and, congratulations and happy anniversaries and things like that.
Yeah, mom and dad, I'm a pot smoker. That one has happened.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't gotten any of those. I can't imagine why not.
Yeah, there's some
confession. It's weird those are going your way.
Yeah. I mean, you could still break the news to them. It's just, it's even better with me because I, take a big rip and then blow it in their face.
Oh, that is pretty good. Maybe that should be my angle. Maybe I should say, like, give me the bad news that you need to tell someone and I will tell it in the best possible way.
I don't know, because I feel like then you're going to be hearing some sad stories all day.
Oh, I've gotten a few of those already, and I think I did okay.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, the pep talk category kind of gets to me, because I'm not really a pep talk kind of person.
Ah.
You know?
Okay, send those my way. I've got videos.
My pep talk videos are just me taking a hit and going, whatever, man, just relax.
Oh. Maybe the idea is, well, look at this guy. He's just sitting there smoking weed. You can do something.
Yeah.
Get outside and do something, man.
Well, this gentleman that's joining us, our third guest today, he has been out there doing stuff, and he's also been at home. Isn't that right, Jeff Tate?
Yeah, it looks like Aparna's wasn't the only bio you read. I cover all the bases.
Well, everybody's chanting for you at home, Jeff, to themselves, or maybe annoying their neighbors. When we used to do these shows in front of an audience, Jeff would get a big chant. You know, he didn't get it going. I didn't want to make it sound like Jeff would start it. It would just happen organically. The audience's chant, Tate. And I can't wait to get back to that again. And but Jeff, same question I asked Sam. What's your answer?
I can't remember what you asked Sam. I don't have a...
Let me see if I've got it written down here. I asked him, hey, buddy, what have you been up to?
Oh, that one, yeah. Well, I never had a show on DC Daily, so that's like one step behind Sam. I haven't even got canceled yet. I never even got picked up.
You're also less sad about it because you never had the job to begin with.
Right. You don't know what you got till it's gone, and you never know what you got when you don't have it. The follow-up, the less successful follow-up single. I've been playing one particular game every day.
Yes, we get together every day at a different time, depending on, you know, what time we're both up on our different time zones. And we get to play together and play a game called the IMDb game against one another. And Jeff and I have been playing for now it's been 142 days.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and we are currently completely tied up at 71 wins apiece.
Whoa. That's
amazing and to be expected.
Have you played today yet?
Yeah, we played. Generally, I get up here on the West Coast at around 8 or 9 o'clock, and I text Jeff, who's on the East Coast time zone in Cincinnati area, and then, you know, we just agree on a time to meet on our Periscope accounts, and then... And like, there's about 70 people, I think, that watch it every day, and then thousands of people who wander in, wonder what's happening, and then leave.
Yeah.
So it's pretty sweet deal as far as audiences go. I wish comedy clubs were like that. Like, the people that wouldn't be that into it just look from the back for a second and go. They don't take a seat. They don't make any noise.
Right. They're not mad at you for being something different.
Yeah. Yeah.
That they wanted.
You don't get to know about their disappointment that you couldn't help them with anyway.
I feel like all these streaming shows are like immersive theater. It's like Sleep No More, where you just wander in and you're just wandering out quietly and nobody cares.
Yeah, it's just a lurker's world out there right now.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if somebody drops in the chat on their way out of a Zoom show, hey, fuck you guys, and then they just leave. They send it to everybody or me personally. Like, if they just send it to me, I hate you. Why aren't you different?
Well, that's one thing we're certainly, you know, sidestepping here. People can write comments on iTunes or wherever, but, you know, podcasts are in so many different spots. There's no, like, you know, there's no comment area that I'm, you know, drawn to look at and then get annoyed and upset by, you know.
It seems like sometimes people comment on specific episodes in the reviews section because they don't know where else to leave their opinions.
That's always the best. There's 2,000 episodes of this show, and they're like, yeah. That one 2 weeks ago, bullshit, one star.
Yeah, my Cameo rating is like, I've gotten 5 stars from everybody, all 5-star reviews except for one guy gave me 4 stars. And he even gave me a pretty positive review. He just wasn't a 5-star. I get it. I don't give 5 stars to every movie I see that I like. You know, you got to reserve some, you know, can't say everything's that amazing. So, but it brought my you know, I've got 4.5 stars on Cameo, only because of that one dude.
Oh man,
that's ridiculous. I want to punch that guy in the face. Doesn't he realize what he's doing?
Well, it's just like that, you know. There was a movie out earlier this year where it got like all great reviews except for one guy. So on Rotten Tomatoes, that makes it like a 99 instead of 100, you know, just because one guy didn't like it out of hundreds. But anyway, we're only playing one game here today.
Oh,
and yeah, and I think, you know, everyone might have had a guess what was going to happen because, except for maybe Aparna, because this is some old school stuff we're talking about.
Okay.
It's the return of a classic game from this show called the Leonard Maltin game.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I can't, I'm having trouble understanding what Aparna's noise was about.
I tried to do a vague noise.
I can just imagine you doing one of your voiceovers and that's their note, you know, hey, do it again, but make it vague. Try to make your voice vague somehow. The Leonard Maltin game is a game we played for years on the show. We even had like tournaments and stuff, and Sam Levine was always the champion of it, and then Jeff Tate had a pretty good run at the game for a while, and then we stopped playing the game on the show because of several reasons, but my number one reason is I'm just tired of explaining how the game works to everybody because it's so complicated. So that being said, Sam, please explain to our guest, Aparna, please tell her the rules of the Leonard Maltin game.
Well, you're going to love it, Aparna. It's like name that tune, but instead of songs and notes, it's movies and actors.
Oh, it's like sound bites. Is that, that's not complicated. It doesn't sound complicated.
Well, not yet. It's more.
There's more.
I wish those were all the rules.
That's it. That's all you need to know.
Okay.
Most times when I say that first part to people, they go, I've never seen Name That Tune.
Oh,
I haven't seen it, but I know how it's played.
You're smart.
Wow, how's that possible? It's crazy that you could know something without having seen it.
It's right there in the name.
Is it? Are you using the book, Doug? The Leonard Maltin book?
No, that's you know, that's a... old way. I'm not going to do it that way. But you know, we used to use the Leonard Maltin app, but then the app went away. So that's another reason the game went away. And then a dude out in Atlanta hooked me up with, he made a book of all the kinds of information that used to be in the Leonard Maltin app for a bunch of movies. So all I have to do is go through and just kind of pick and choose what I want to use from it for the game. And that's what I've been doing the last few times we've played it. So that's what we'll be doing today. But go ahead and explain the rest of it to Aparna, though. There's certainly more to it than that.
Okay, I'll do it. So, you don't do categories anymore? You do categories, but you don't explain what the category name actually means?
Yeah, I'll give whoever's going first, you know, three categories to choose from, but they, you know, they're vague, you know, they're hard to, not hard, you might have a pretty good idea what the category is going to be, but then when you pick a category, that's when I'll reveal it.
Okay, so whoever's turn it is gets to pick from one of three categories, and they'll usually have pretty silly names that may or may not actually correspond with what the category truly is. And so then Doug will read, he'll tell you the year of the movie, and then he'll give you brief snippets from Leonard's review that are usually not terribly helpful. And then he's going to count up all the names that are listed as cast members underneath that review. So let's say it has 9 cast names. So he'll say it has 9 names, and then you, whoever chose the category, gets to make the first bid. And so you're bidding on how many of those names you're going to need to hear to be able to figure out what movie he's talking about. But the catch is you're going to get those names from the bottom of the list to the top. So the only way you're going to hear like the star of the movie is if you bid all nine names, and then whoever goes after you says name that movie and challenges you to then name the movie hearing all nine names. If you say seven names and the next person says name that movie, then you're not going to hear the top two billed stars in the movie. So it creates a bit of a challenge there. But if you make a nine name bid out of a nine total names, and the next person, it would be a bad strategic move to say name that movie, so then they can make a lower bid and so on and so forth until someone gets challenged to name that movie. Now, if you think you know what movie it is, without Doug having to give you any names, then you can bid zero names.
Mm.
And if you think you definitely know what the movie is, and not only that, you can start naming the actors from the movie in the correct order listed in Leonard's book from top to bottom, not bottom up, then you can bid negative names, Aparna. Whoa. Anyway, thanks so much for coming.
Wow, it's probably a great time to mention I'm terrible at learning game rules.
Oh.
Well, that's the other thing I found over the years is when I have comedians and actors as guests, they tend to go that way more than the other way. They tend to not be into rules or learning them or remembering. You know, which is part of why, part of what makes the person creative or a stand-up comedian, I think, is, you know, is that sort of not wanting to sit around and finding out how all the rules work. Remember on At Midnight when we'd be on there and they'd talk you through the rules?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would never pay attention.
You would just, all the comedians, I would watch it happen because I was on the show a bunch of times and I was always super into being competitive, but I knew the rules. I didn't need to hear it again. But everyone would just not pay attention. It's the thing. I don't know what it is about, you know, I guess because it's the same people that were class clowns in school that would rather, you know, jump in and get something going than just sit and listen and learn.
Doug, I'm wearing my At Midnight shirt right now.
What?
Oh, my goodness. That is crazy.
Wow.
You got to let go of these canceled shows.
but I have so much swag. They live forever in my closet.
All right, Jeff, are you still there?
Yeah, I don't have any At Midnight merch.
No, I wasn't asking about that.
I'm sorry, Sam started explaining rules, so I checked out.
Well, that's why I was checking out with you, to make sure you're here and that the rules felt complete to me. That seemed like he said it all.
Yeah, that's a pretty good summation.
Yeah, and we'll talk Aparna through it. You don't have to really worry about remembering all that. We'll, I'll be like your coach.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here and excited to be the first person eliminated.
Yeah, well, it's not really an elimination thing. Like, I think you're used to doing the 12 guests of Christmas where we kick.
Oh, yeah. Now, I should have listened to the rules.
You get to stay the whole time, or as I like to say, we get to have you here the whole time. Let's start with you, though. We'll let you go first, and then we'll
go
from there. We'll go to Sam and then to Jeff. But first, let's take a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back. Let's give you three categories to choose from, Aparna.
All right.
Would you like the category, how do you like them apples?
Mm-hmm.
Or the basketball drearies?
Mm.
Or ice knowing you?
Oh, boy. Okay, I am going to go. They all sound equally appealing, but I'm going to go with ice knowing you.
Oh, that's a great choice. That's my favorite of these. Ice knowing you is movies where Val Kilmer appears but does not get top billing.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Ice knowing you, Val. Who played Ice in Top Gun.
All right.
So here's what you get from this point, Aparna, is I'm going to tell you that Leonard Maltin reviewed this movie upon its release in the year 2005. That's a five. Gave it 2 stars.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then from his review, he called this movie uneven and also confusing and tiresome.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And he named 6 actors. So I'm going to say to you, how many does it take for you to name this movie? And then just the smart opening bid, you just say 6. I'll take all 6 names. And then that way, if the next person, Sam, if he challenges you, then, you know, I think you got a pretty good shot. I think we all do.
I mean, would 6 include Val Kilmer?
Oh, yeah, it would. Unless his billing was so low that he's not in the top 6.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, then I'm going to go for the 6.
Very smart. Sam?
2005, you say, Doug. You are sure about that?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the weirdest thing happened. Like, I'm sitting here looking at this tiny print, and then the sun went behind a cloud or something, so it suddenly got very dark in my apartment.
All right.
It's one of those rolling brownouts.
It's one of those natural lighting changes, but I'm pretty sure it's 2005.
All right, then I'm going to go -3.
Okay, so see, Aparna, you already don't even have to worry about anything because now it goes to Jeff, and Jeff has to decide just how much he thinks he knows about this movie. And the trickiest part, the thing that makes Sam such a great player, is he does this negative names bullshit, and then he also, you have to know them in the order that they're listed according to Leonard Maltin's book, so it's maybe not even necessarily according to. They try to base it on the billing in the movie. In some movies, the billing is different from the opening credits to the end credits. So, or 2 names are right next to each other on the screen, you know, at the same time. So, Jeff, what do you think you can do about this?
Well, I got 2 options, right? And I'm going to take the one that goes, name it.
All right. So Sam has to name the movie.
Oh,
then the top build person, the second build person, and the third build person. And then if he succeeds in that, he will get 1 point. If he fails, Jeff will get the point.
Okay.
But either way, you get to go first again in the next round, Aparna.
Okay.
So just sit back and listen to the magic of Mr. Ooh. Sam Levine.
I'm not... Well, all right. I don't know about magic. I only bid -3 because I kind of also assumed that Jeff would know it. And so this third one may be the one that kills me, but I believe the movie is Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, starring Robert Downey Jr., Val Kilmer, and Michelle Monaghan.
Oh.
I've never known for sure if it's Monahan or Monaghan, if you pronounce the G.
Uh-huh.
But I think you're probably right about not pronouncing the G, and you're definitely right about everything else. That is correct.
Oh, yay! What? Okay.
Wow.
I thought Corbin Burnson might sneak in there as the third one.
Yeah, he could totally pull a sneaky there because he was had a pretty big part in it. But
two stars?
That's how it went. Yeah, and
that's a low review from Leonard.
It throws you off that Leonard doesn't like it. Because he should have liked it. I don't know what happened that day.
Man, if it was 3 stars, I would have gone -4. Because I thought it was that. And then I was like, no way. No way is it only 2 stars.
Wow. Did he say it suffered from overlength, Doug?
No.
One of Leonard's favorite negative things to say about a movie.
Yeah, he says it grows, quickly grows confusing and tiresome. And but then this is the devastating line here, because this determines kind of which way you feel about this movie, even, because he says, Lethal Weapon scribe Shane Black seems awfully impressed with himself for repeatedly having the protagonist break away from the story to mock the film's use of narrative and genre cliches.
Wow.
Yeah, so if you're not into that kind of, like, meta examining itself as it goes along kind of thing, I could just see Leonard sitting there getting impatient with that.
Hmm.
But the charismatic stars make it somewhat bearable.
Oh, wow, somewhat bearable. I love that movie.
It's such a good movie. This is one we might have to, corner Leonard and make him rewatch it or something.
Yeah.
Maybe he was having a bad day.
Exactly. I think that really has a lot to do with what people feel about things. Like, I hated Trolls World Tour, but that's because I was watching it in a maternity ward. And I can't, it's a great movie, but the screaming babies were too distracting.
I thought Trolls World Tour was just somewhat bearable.
Trolls World Tour, that's the sequel to Troll 2, right?
What?
There's Trolls World Tour?
I thought Trolls World Tour is Trolls 2.
It is, yeah.
No, definitely. Well, Trolls with an S.
Troll humor.
For serious movie fans only.
yeah. Well, also, where does the Troll Hunter fit in there? Is it part of the Troll universe?
It's a spin-off movie. It has to be part of that universe.
Is it part of the TCU? All right, Sam's on the board. He's got 1 point, but Aparna gets to start us off, and then we're going to go to Jeff. So Sam doesn't like this position where sometimes it doesn't go his way.
True, I don't care for it, but that's okay.
Yeah. It's an unfortunate part of the game, and also part of why we don't play it anymore.
Good to know.
Parna,
yeah,
gets to pick another category. Would you like Last Man Stanton or 30 Days of Night or find one more here for you? Here we go. Drunk Thirstery.
Oh, I'm going to go with Drunk Thirstery.
Okay. This is movies featuring alcohol consumption.
Wow, that does not narrow it down.
Well, it's not anything from the TCU, I can tell you.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
I thought they have their equivalent of booze.
I think they do, yeah. It's cupcakes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, so this movie features alcohol being consumed is from 2013. Mr. Leonard Maltin gave it 2.5 stars.
Dang.
He calls it mildly diverting. And not always compelling.
Man, I feel like I'm hearing comedy album reviews.
It's definitely better than Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
I know, that's true.
And the only five names are listed.
Oh.
For the cast, so what do you think? Do you want to do probably again the best move for you would just be say, I'll take five names, please.
Yeah, I'm going to take five names.
Now we go to Jeff. Please.
I'll take four.
Oh, listen to this guy.
Wow.
So clever. But that takes Aparna off, so I put Sam on the line for he has to go lower or say, Jeff Tate, name that movie.
Only five names.
Yeah, it's if I had, spent a little bit more time on this, I might not have picked this movie.
Oh, cool.
Because it's fun to have ones where there's a ton of names, like, because it makes the bidding more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you go from nine names to -3, that was a fun leap.
It was impressive, too. I mean, we haven't played this game in years, and the first time you go -3 and get it.
Wow.
So he said -4, so I'd have to, or he said four names rather, not negative. He said four. I'd have to go three.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I don't know. Maybe because of the way you're talking about it, it's going to be a real guesser. So I'm going to say, go ahead, Jeff Tate. You name that movie.
All right. Jeff gets pressure. Jeff gets four names. The only one he doesn't get is the top billed person in the film. Would you like all the clues and whatnot again, Jeff?
Yes.
Scott Dwayne. It's from 2013. 2.5 stars from Leonard. Mildly diverting, not always compelling, and your four names are Ty West, Ron Livingston, Anna Kendrick, and Jake Johnson.
This movie is called Drinking Buddies.
That is correct.
Wow.
That is correct.
Whoa.
Well Jeff, done.
Jeff, you
well
did
done,
it.
Sir.
Yeah.
I feel like I got a Blu-ray of that movie at a Doug Loves Movies.
Someone
I
picked
feel
your
like
name tag?
Jake Johnson was on the show and was giving those out to the other people on the show.
That feels like a typical, that feels like that could happen. Probably more likely with Ty West, perhaps.
Oh, okay, yeah, probably Ty West then.
Yeah, because he's been on a few times because he comes on when he's got a movie directed coming out, and then he just acted in this one, but it is kind of a curveball that he's... Oh, and the top billed person is Olivia Wilde.
Mm.
Oh.
For anyone who was wondering about that. All right, so that means that Sam and Jeff each have 1 point. They're halfway to the win, but Aparna is still here.
I'm still here.
Boiling away. Mm. We're going to start with you again. This time we're going to go to Sam. I love that you get to pick the categories each time.
Yeah, it makes me feel relevant.
It gives you a little something to do. And it's, So would you like a category called F-bombs? You know, F, of course, being short for fuck, or...
Thank you, Doug.
Would you like a category called love that chicken?
Mm-hmm.
Or top of the world?
I'm going to go with F-bombs.
F-bombs it is. These are movies that Leonard Maltin hated that begin with the letter F.
Okay.
Jeff's already having a great time with this
one. I love the categories. I've always been, when we played this game before regularly, my favorite part was the categories.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you what the love that chicken category is?
Yes, please.
Please.
Yeah, I almost picked that one.
It's movies featuring a character named Popeye.
Yes. And it's got to be 1971's French Connection, right, Doug?
Well, there's also another film called Popeye.
That's true.
And there's the French Connection 2.
There's a French Connection 2. And yeah, that's probably about it, though.
Probably three movies.
My favorite category was The Secret Life of Walter Mittens, I think. And it was movies where Walter Matthau wore mittens.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
The answer was The Survivors. I remember everything about that
Whoa.
Night.
Oh,
yeah, that is a good one. All right, so F-bombs it is, though. This is from 1995, Aparna. Leonard Maltin gave it his bomb designation, which is really crazy because he gives, you know, what is it, 1 to 5 stars, Sam?
Yeah, 1 to 4, I think.
1 to 4, but then ostensibly, it's like buildings that claim they don't have a 13th floor just by skipping that number. It's bomb. Like, it's crazy to me that there's a distinction between a movie that gets only 1 star out of 1 to 4 stars, or then he had to make one that's even worse. He had to make a bomb category. So this movie is a bomb. And he says about it, what a cast, ... What a waste, exclamation point. Exclamation point. I mean, he's not an exclamation point guy for the most part.
Wow.
That's a savage review from Leonard. And then he also calls it embarrassingly awful. And he lists, because he loves to list actors' names, 20 people.
What?
Yeah, there's 20 names. And he picked a good one. So, but the main thing you have to remember is that the movie begins with the letter F. And you need to tell me, again, I'd say maybe in your case, you'd want to take all 20 names for your opening bid.
Yeah, why not? Let's go for 20.
She's going for 20, Sam.
Oh, man.
What do I do?
Names. 1995. He hated it. Zero names.
Whoa.
Okay. That's quite a leap. Puts Jeff in a very interesting position because, I mean, he'd have to know what this is already, as you were implying you do.
I think I do.
Yeah, so Jeff has to either hope that you're on to something incorrect here. I'm sure there's more than one movie in that year that begins with the letter F. Jeff, what do you think?
Can you go
negative, or do you have to just throw yourself at the mercy of Lil Logan? Yeah.
This is tough. He hated it, so there's a chance I have that I actually kind of like it.
Oh, so you always have to put everything you in this game, you have to put it through that metric. They're like, Leonard hated it, so I probably think it's pretty good.
Well, I can't be like, well, it's certainly not this is pretty good. It still might get zero. But if I get it
quality,
wrong,
you can't use your opinion of its quality to determine.
Right. Plus, the only thing I could think of, Sam, would be crazy to not have gone negative if it's this. So I'm going to say name it.
Oh, all right. This is maybe my least confident guess.
All Sam has to do is guess this. If he doesn't, then that means Jeff is our winner. But if Sam gets it correct, he's our winner. And before you even say this, Sam, I got to tell you guys, the prize this week is nothing.
Oh, finally.
Yeah, we decided last week we gave away a ton of money, but this week, no prize.
Oh, cool. That's great. No, I've been hoping for canceled. I don't need anything.
It's just personal pride. Here we go, Sam. Tell us what the movie's called.
Oh, boy. Is it Four Rooms?
It is Four Rooms.
That was the 20 names was the only thing that I could think of where that would need a list that long for cast. But I'm shocked that Leonard thought it was a bomb.
Huh. Yeah, well, I you know, I'm not too into it, I gotta say. But yeah, that's an interesting one. Tim Roth, of course, is a number one build, and then the movie's just packed with people because it's four different hotel rooms, four different stories. And Bruce Willis isn't even one of the 20 because he's in it unbilled.
What?
Yeah. So he might have, maybe he saw a cut of the movie and was like, you don't have to put my name on there. You guys will be fine without me. So congratulations, Sam. You're back.
Wow.
It's the first Leonard Maltin game in a while, and you still got it, kid.
Wow. Thank you. I think you pick movies that are very much in my wheelhouse.
Well, I got to get a new book then, because this book says right on the front of it, Sam's Wheelhouse.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is that the book I made for you?
Are you the one that made this?
No.
You said it from Atlanta to throw him off.
That would be the most genius way to cheat is to give a... give some random fan of the show a booklet saying, you made it.
Yeah.
That's a real long game.
Mm-hmm. Is it a year's thing, do you think, Sam, or just sort of?
It's definitely a year's thing for me.
Yeah. It's like anything 80s or 90s, that's sort of your area.
Anything 80s, 90s, or into the mid-aughts. Like, I think Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was Val Kilmer's only movie that year. And like, I don't really even remember him in anything after that until MacGruber, which was 2010.
Yeah.
Huh.
He was, you know, busy touring with the Mark Twain Show.
Oh, all right.
And they get to from town to town, of course, on a paddle boat. And sometimes they'd have to put that on the back of a truck because, you know, they went to landlocked places.
Mm. That's why the tour's taken the last 10 years.
Yeah, it was really, that's what I was trying to say. It's just a very long tour. Because they decided to go in a Mark Twain paddle boat. Let's talk, we got a few minutes here to talk current movies or even just movies that you're turning to in these weird times where we have, you know, so much time to watch stuff, but also our concentration levels are weird.
Right.
Does anybody have like a, here's the movie people should watch, like something you could recommend that's good for right now?
Well, I mean, this is a good movie if you want to watch something new. If you know, this is as new a movie as any movie is right now.
I like new.
The Outpost.
It's called what?
The Outpost.
Okay.
It was directed by a friend of the show, Rod Lurie.
Hmm.
Written and directed. It's his most recent feature. And it is based on the book written by CNN's Jake Tapper.
Whoa.
And Tapper tapped out a few books.
Yeah. Sounds like his name should be Typer.
Yeah, Jake Typer.
Mm. Yeah, what's up, Jake Typer? Tell us the story.
And so it's a harrowing story about a very real battle at one of the military outposts in Afghanistan during the Afghan conflict.
Okay.
And
Some actor names you could throw around?
Probably. Let's see. I think Orlando Bloom is in it.
Those are my favorite kind of movies. The ones that Orlando Bloom might be in.
Hang on. Let me look it up. If I'm,
I always want to be surprised that Orlando Bloom is in a movie. I don't want to know ahead of time.
No.
It is. He is in it. I just looked it up. Scott, it stars Scott Eastwood. That's always a good
Scott
sign.
Eastwood, Caleb Landry Jones. Milo Gibson, who may or may not be related to Mel.
He definitely
is. Have you seen this movie?
I have seen this movie, and I can confirm it is a gripping and exciting watch, and it sort of paints a real picture of, other than like The Hurt Locker, there's not really a whole lot of movies that give pretty accurate portrayals of what it really is like in that part of the world for our fighting men and women. And so, I read the book and was anxious to see the movie. And I think the movie did a really great job of telling all the stories of these soldiers.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to check it out because I like an exciting watch. You know, most people don't even wear watches anymore. So when there's an exciting one, I love to see it. The Outpost.
The Outpost. Yep.
What about you, Aparna? Is there anything that's caught your eye?
Well, I don't know if this would be appropriate for the current time, but it definitely is as strange as our current time. I just saw Being John Malkovich for the first time.
Oh, isn't that wild? Like, isn't it weird that movie's existed all this time and now you've seen it?
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know how I avoided seeing it for so long, but.
Because it's more than a movie. There's something about it. It's really, it's just so creative.
Yeah, it's so creative and it's so, like the turns that it takes, you just never, it's kind of outside of conventional storytelling. You just don't know where it's going to go next.
Anytime, and I bring this up every time the movie comes up, but anytime I see a door that's too small to walk through, I always say that's John Cusack's office. Either to myself or whoever I'm with. And it never, never leads to anything, but it makes me smile.
Would you ever go through the door? Maybe it does lead to something.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, is I don't know whose brain I would be, who would I be inside? I wouldn't want to crapshoot it. I definitely want to know ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, John Malkovich would be a great one. I would love to hang out in his head for a second.
Sure. And it could be like Vincent Gallo or something, and then you're fucked forever. You'll never be able to sleep again.
I don't want to be in somebody that the 10 minutes that I'm in their head, they decide to kill themselves or something, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know who has my favorite line in that movie is W. Earl Brown. It's not a huge role in the movie, but he's one of the guys who, like, comes to pay $200 to do it, and he's sitting in their office. He's just this big crying slob, and he's like, So can I be anyone I want to be? And then she's like, you get to be inside John Malkovich. He goes, perfect! It's my second choice, but yeah, that's perfect. as if there was a list in his head. Anyway, W. Earl Brown, for those who don't know him by name only, he was Warren in Something About Mary and Dan, the Enforcer, in Deadwood.
What?
Oh. Who else?
About a wide Mary? Range, by the way.
You know who else makes a cameo in that movie? Octavia Spencer.
Oh, that's right.
She also, I was watching old Sam Raimi movie, Drag Me to Hell, and saw her name in the end credits, and I was like, what? She wasn't in that. And then, went back and looked at it, and there's scenes like it's like a bank that it takes place a lot of it in, mm-hmm. and she's just like one of the co-workers just hanging around. So I guess she had lines that got cut.
Oh, she was also in a little horror movie called Pulse, Doug.
Yeah, Octavia Spencer was like, she played really small parts in a lot of things before, before these, big movies like The Help and Hidden Figures came along.
Mm-hmm.
Good for her, I say. She seems real nice.
Yeah.
She was a delight. She was there the night I harassed Francis Ford Coppola.
Well, I wish we had time for that story.
You'll have to have me back on, Doug.
Like, what do you mean? Like,
we'll get to the bottom of that one next time you're on the show. Who hasn't weighed in on what we should watch? Jeff, have you suggested anything?
I have not. I've been watching either science fiction or old, like, old comedies. Not very old, but, like, nostalgia-filled whatever. Like, real life is such a nightmare that I just I've been watching, like, Tommy Boy a lot.
Tommy Boy is, I dare say, kind of perfect because, like, you know, especially if you've seen it already, you could just watch any kind of like 10, 15 minute stretch of it and probably get a smile and a laugh because, you know, that was the Chris Farley movie. That was the movie that really tapped into his thing. And then, you know, and unfortunately his other movies and stuff didn't really, you know, they didn't really get him as well as that one did.
Right. But Tommy Boy, I love Tommy Boy so much. I like Black Sheep.
See, that's what I'm saying. I wasn't going to start naming other movies. So. Just trying to be
And I'm watching that like dystopian futuristic sci-fi stuff just to get ready. Like one of those is going to come true. RoboCop or Total Recall or something. One of those is going to happen and I'm going to be prepared.
Yeah. Well,
you get your ass to Mars.
I just hated the end of that movie when Total Recall, I mean, I don't remember it entirely, but I'm pretty sure that Schwarzenegger's head expands to a point that not even Schwarzenegger's head could handle it.
Yeah.
And then it just goes back to normal. He doesn't even have like loose skin at the end.
Yeah. And Rachel Tickleton too. Her head also expands to unusual size. Not Ronnie Cox. He gets the full expansion.
Oh, he like it. He explodes.
His head fully explodes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man,
why didn't the other two's heads explode?
Went out after Ronnie Cox did, as the atmosphere was filling with air.
Yeah, yeah, they were able to recalibrate or whatever they got.
Yeah, it was a matter of seconds between life and death getting expelled onto the Mars atmosphere, and they got lucky. But if it makes any difference to you, Doug, I was recently reading an article or an interview. I can't quite remember. And they finally confirmed that it is all a dream.
What?
Well, so anything could happen in that movie because he's dreaming it the whole time.
Anyway. I guess so. Yes, that in fact he is still very much asleep at the recall center in the real world where he's dreaming this fantasy, and he's am I going to wake up? And you know, I don't know. And yeah, he's going to wake up.
There's no place like home.
What if you find out that you never even saw it? You just went to recall and they gave you the memory of having seen it.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
Can you imagine someone today trying, like, making the first in a series of Wizard of Oz movies and the filmmaker's like, and it turns out to all be a dream. And then the studio's like, hey, there's 50 of these fucking books. It's not going to just be one movie that turns out to be a dream. We need to get Dorothy's ass back there somehow. Well, this has been delightful talking to all of you about movies and playing these games with you. It's comforting to me. I hope it's comforting to you and to all of our listeners. Let's go through and do some plugs. Other things you've got going on, people should be looking for, starting with Aparna and Sherla.
I guess you already plugged my current plug, which is just you can see me on Space Force on Netflix or Corporate on Comedy Central. But I guess if you want to find me on the internet, I'm on Twitter and Instagram like everybody else.
Yeah, very funny Twitter. People should check that out. And yeah, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Sam?
Well, let's see. I actually do have a movie that I shot a few years ago coming out, I believe next month, but I'm not 100% sure of the date. Anyway, it's called Immortal.
Ooh.
And it is it's a combination. It's four short films, all with a similar theme that are put together to be one 2 hour long movie. And I believe I'm in the first segment. So, you know, if you're watching it just for me, there you go. No waiting.
Yeah, like people had to wait until the last segment of Four Rooms to see Bruce Willis. But
that's the man from Hollywood,
You, the showcase performer of this entire film, you're in the first segment.
I am in the first segment, I believe, unless they edited the movie without telling me, but yes.
Maybe your segment turned out the best, so it's got to be number four.
I'm okay with whatever.
I'm not sitting through. I'm not going to watch. I'm not going to wait for you. If you're not in that first segment, I'm out.
That's fair. That's tough, but fair, Doug. Anyway,
we're not immortal, Sam. I'm not immortal.
Yeah, what kind of time do we have?
I think it comes out, let's just say, early September. Okay. I want to say September 8th, but I'm not sure. So early September. Keep a lookout for Immortal.
Well, we'll circle back on this.
Okay, sounds good.
Jeff?
Yeah, I got those albums. I got an album coming out September 9th. Ooh. The last one of my series, the run, the 2020 run of Volume 8, Hindsight Volume 8, September 9th.
Yeah, that's what Aparna, Jeff has been releasing a different taped recording of his set from a different year in his career in order.
Wow.
On the same day of the month as the month, so like August 8th, September 9th, and this is the last one, September 9th. But they're all still available, right, Jeff?
They're all available. They all stream. Stream them wherever you want to stream.
It sounds awesome. I wouldn't even know where to turn because I always hated having my sets recorded, so I don't have like old sets I could just, release now. But that's such a fun idea.
Well, thank you. I've had a good time doing it, revisiting stuff. There's so many bits of stuff that I just forgot about.
Yeah, it's weird listening to or, watching old sets. It's because you're like, I don't remember writing that or saying that.
Yeah.
did you notice that anything about your delivery changed at all?
I noticed that I used to say the word right a lot.
Right?
Yeah, I would like end a sentence with that. Somehow there was like a tick. I've had different ticks over the years, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good one, though. I hate listening to myself. I hate listening to my sets, but like when you catch yourself something like that, like a habit you're not aware of, it's very helpful to get rid of it,
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just worked it out too. Like, I had already stopped doing it by the time I found out I had been doing it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. All right. So I'm not going to worry about it then. I'm sure all my old habits that I wouldn't like now are completely gone.
Right? There's all new ones now. I don't know what they are. I'll find out in 10 years.
I don't know. I don't know how I mean got into like the way we say, and me specifically, I mean all the time. I've even started writing it into tweets just because it just sounds like how I talk.
Yeah.
Great story. So I always like to go out on something that makes people perfectly fine that it's over. Don't want to leave with anything too exciting. I don't really have anything specific to plug right now.
We can both plug that we're on Cameo.
Oh, that's true. We did talk about that earlier, and most people, do listen to all of this. They don't start late.
If somebody comes in just for the games?
Yeah, I guess they could fast forward through the chatty part, but we get right to the games these days, so I don't know.
I like it.
But yeah, Cameo for Sam. Sam's are very reasonable, $45, and mine are $1,700.
Wow. Good for you, Doug. Yeah. Good for you.
Well, you just do one a month. That's it.
Significance in my life, and so I wanted to make sure that was the amount. I guess I could have done 170 or even $1.70.
It's never too late to change.
Never too late to change up my fictional favorite number. Yes. Thank you to all. And to all, I will say this. One thing about living in Santa Carla, I could never stomach all the damn vampires.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room